What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. I have my good friend Chris here. We're here to review The Black Spot. And everybody knows this is actually one of the biggest things that happens actually in the Stephen King's It novel. It actually started the fire and stuff like that. But it starts off a little bit differently than what it does in the book. But I like how they set it up in the TV show. So I definitely like that. But let's talk about this. The fact that it actually starts off back in 1908 at the carnival, and then Pennywise, the dancing clown. And of course, we also know this is Bob Gray because of the fact that his hair is not the way it's supposed, you know what I'm saying? It has all the makeup, the prosthetics on it. But I definitely like it. I definitely like how we're introduced to this and how it became Pennywise, giving us the whole entire background of that. And I feel like that the audience actually does need to know how Bob Gray died and the origins of how Mrs. Kirsch came about with this as well. So I definitely like how they started us off with this, and especially the stage play of Pennywise dancing out on stage and have him more. And it looks like he was trying to mourn. The story is like mourning over his dead wife, I think. So yeah. I like how they're actually foreshadowing him and his hurt of mourning over his dead wife while also trying to take care of his daughter. So what did you think about the opening scene?
I think it's great. I loved that they actually brought that in, giving us a background on Pennywise and how he wasn't always Pennywise the clown, right? He was imitating what a little boy, and lured him out into the woods, and he chose him because, you know, the children seem to be attracted to you.
Right. The innocence of the child. Right. Because that's actually the easiest way to go about it, because he's actually seeing how the kids are actually engaged in what Pennywise is doing, what Bob Gray is doing with these kids. It's like, okay, so I can lure these kids in with the innocence of my eyes or my whole entire persona of dancing and stuff like that, making them smile, and then turn on them and stuff. So I definitely like how they did this. And I feel like that you actually need the context within this to actually get us going here. And I also like how Mrs. Kirsch is actually dressed up in a little clown outfit, wanting to show Bob Gray, hey, look, I'm wanting to do this with you. And he does the father and daughter thing, and he winds up naming her after the mother. And I like that moment of Bob, like, let me see your bow. And she bows, and she also blows her horn. It was just this cute little adorable moment between father and daughter that I really had a big smile on my face. And Bill Skarsgård does a fantastic job of balancing Pennywise and also Bob Gray at the same time, which is a hard thing to do as an actor. But overall, I thought that scene really pays off.
Yeah, it was a great scene. You get the emotional attachment for Miss Kirsch to Pennywise. And you also learned that, you know, Pennywise was once a famous clown back in the day, right? So, I mean, he's a prestigious figure at this point, which makes him even more alluring to the audience. It was great. He like you mentioned, he had the play. It was good storytelling mixed with comedy and everything. And you know, I could see why it would choose him to mimic.
Exactly. And then I also like how Bob is just drinking. He's just taking a break, smoking a cigarette and drinking a little bit, and just trying to cool down from everything over the day. And then you see this kid just pop out of the woods. And I like how he goes, go away. He doesn't even want to be bothered at this point.
Yeah, at first I thought he was just going to be a complete jerk. But then you're like, well, you know, he did kind of try. Like, he heard the mom scream, supposedly, which was more than likely just it. But, you know, he's like, oh, well, maybe this kid actually needs some help. And, you know, the kid looked a little roughed up, too. So
definitely was believable. I do like the fact that, you know, he's luring him in to this trap and using the innocence of that child to do what he what it needs to do, which is take the persona of Bob. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it goes into Mrs. Kirch is a little kid. And there's all it is just his little handkerchief with his initials on it. And
all covered in blood.
He's like, oh, maybe a coyote got to him. I'm like,
the wolves. Yeah. Yeah,
wolves. I'm like, really, dude? So you're not even going to go and check on the dude? Or he's like,
they did say that they combed the woods a little bit in the right, background. And that's how they came up. Yeah.
True.
So, I mean, they didn't just leave him out to the wolves.
Right. Or it. But yeah, I definitely liked the opening. I thought the cold opening was really good. And then we get back into the 1960s with Bowers and his men one hang. Dick tells them it's a military hangout and was going to give himself up. Hank was actually going to give himself up. And there was a standoff between Bowers and his men and the military. Bowers is going to burn the black spot down, which we actually see in the book and everything too, where they actually burn it down. At first, when they showed us with the black spot, I thought, is this the club that's going to be burned down that right. I read inside the novel? I'm like, is it? And then all of a sudden it does happen. I like that nod to the book, and I really feel I actually geeked out a little bit because of the fact that I know what's going to happen, but just seeing it in this full context on the screen, oh my gosh, like that was just horrifying to see. As a matter of fact, there was an Easter egg in that scene.
Oh yeah, which Easter egg?
Okay, so did you ever see the movie or the miniseries of Storm of the Century?
No, I haven't.
Okay, in there, the Mr. Nanage, well, I'm sorry if I'm butchering the name. It's been years since I've seen it. But he tells the townspeople, give me what I want and I'll go away. And as a matter of fact, the mask even looks like Mr. Nanage. And so that's actually a quote that Mr. Nanage says to the town, just as that character is saying it to them. So I like that little nod to Storm of the Century.
That's cool.
But yeah, the black spot just burning down and then seeing all these characters being burnt up. Everyone that we knew in this whole entire TV show just starts getting burned up, getting shot up. We see Dick tripping again. He's seeing visions of a dead Indian person, and the Indian person's and then the Civil War soldiers trying to show him the way out to another side. And then we have Margaret, and we also have Rich. And this reminds me of Titanic, but Titanic done in the right way, where you actually have Rich goes get inside the trunk. She goes, yeah. He goes, it's enough for two people. And she's like, no, it's not enough. It's okay. Shuts the lid. He gets on top of it, and he sacrifices himself for Marge. And that's going to be, I'm going to say this, that's actually going to be Richie's mom that we actually get. I want to say Marge is actually short for Margaret, which is also Richie Tozer's mother. So I think that's what's going to wind up happening. At first, I wasn't sure if that was what it was going to be, but it's now more clear to me that it is. Mm-hmm. But then you see Pennywise just go out of nowhere inside in the fire, and then he starts eating somebody's face. He goes, I'm sorry, do I have a face on my face?
Yeah. I was like, what? I'm sorry, do I have face on my face? Like, and he's just standing staring at her like, what?
And blood is just dripping down.
Yeah, blood and drool.
And I feel bad for Veronica. She's just horrified at this, you know, and then just to know that this woman who was just trying to reach out for refuge and then her face is getting eaten up by it.
Yeah.
That was gruesome. But
yeah, it was a pretty gruesome scene.
Like, it was nothing but full on carnage with this black spot.
Yeah. I mean, the explosive wounds from all the guns being shot out, the fires on everybody, It was a pretty gruesome scene. And then the visions for what's his name, seeing the Native American, ends up being one of the tribal leaders, the former tribal leaders.
Yep. And from the Indian tribe, yep.
Yeah. He did try to save the kids, which I was thinking he was just gonna try and dip, you know.
Right. But it was cool to actually see the Indian dude just stand there to point out in the direction of where these kids are.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dick is actually moves into that area, moves the refrigerator, and they sneak out Veronica, Hank, and Will,
mm-hmm.
leaving Richie and Marge behind. This made me cry.
Yeah, man. That was so sad. I mean, he saved Marge, right? And he was able to get the last few words in, a little story about, you know, take a picture, it might last longer. Mm-hmm. And I think, pretty much professes his love for her. And I mean, that one kind of ate me up a little bit, you know.
Me too.
You know, really, really on the inside, it's like, I was hoping maybe he'd survive, but I mean, we see how gruesome and
grotesque.
grotesque, yeah. And you know, none of the kids are safe.
No, so. I even said this at the very beginning. If you're thinking that these kids are going to be safe, you're in a rude awakening, because the only one I saw that could wind up surviving is Will, and then we're going to talk about Will in a few minutes, because I'm like, oh, I might be wrong here on what they're doing. But
yeah, Pennywise, ducking cover, kiddos.
But the dark humor in this is funny. It's creepy. I love what Bill Skarsgård is doing here with Pennywise. It is so dark. And then him going out to see Mrs. Kirsch.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband is like, well, you need to get back inside. You need to go back home. Because I forgot what her name, her actual character name is. I've been calling her Mr. Kirsch all through. Right. He's like, you need to go back home. Next thing you know, you see Pennywise with a butcher knife.
Yeah.
Just chops off the dude's head and starts eating it like a damn orange.
Yeah, he's got that Pennywise shuffle walking up with
that swagger.
With his butcher knife and just a shoink right across. She starts talking to him, thinking it's her dad.
It's her right.
Her and father.
I like how she does this thing with him. And she goes, Dad, look. And she starts bowing, and he starts clapping like it was his daughter again, mm-hmm. and stuff. He goes, well, I got to go now. And she's like, no, Dad, no, don't abandon. She goes, I'll come back. I always do.
It's time for me to get some sleep.
I got to go to sleep now. It's like, and then she starts going, don't abandon me. If she wouldn't have grabbed his arm, she would have been okay, but no, she had to go on ahead, grab his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And Belle, she looks at him and she goes, you're not my dad. Goes,
oh, yeah, the look that he gave her, man. If looks could kill, that was it right there. She grabs him as he's trying to walk away. You know, he has his routine, man. He eats and then he goes to sleep.
Sleep, exactly, for 27 years. So you get to see your dad at 27 years. But and,
he's like, he just stares at her, and then that look, she could tell immediately, you're not my dad.
No. And I also like this though, dude. Like, whenever he's looking at her, he goes, I am your dad. I'm Pennywise, the dancing daddy.
Yeah, like, he's still trying to play it off.
Right. Even though his cover's been blown, even with that mm-hmm. look, you're toast. You're done.
Yep.
And then he, all of a sudden, she's like, you're not my dad. Because, no, I ate him.
I can still feel him reaching. He's reaching for you. Yeah.
And then, And then the deadlights happen whenever his mouth opens up. And then she's gone. She's dead now.
Yeah.
But that scene was just horrifying to see. And I'm like, look, girl, all you had to do was just let him go. It would have been fine. But no, you just had to grab his arm. He just wanted to go to sleep. That's all he had to do. He was ready to go to sleep. He was about to go ahead.
I kind of get it, though. You know, the last time she saw him was 27 years ago. Yeah, when he disappeared into the woods, she lost her dad. She finally gets to see him again, right?
She also saw him again whenever she was working at the hospital and lured that poor girl down in the boiler room.
That's true. That's true. She did see that one. That one time, but the gap, you know, she misses her dad. She thinks that this creature is her dad, and until those final moments,
right? And then she's like, I knew I would get to see you again. This is before she was. I knew I would get to see you again if I just went on ahead and gave you enough fear, enough anxiety.
She made the call to say that
that Hank was inside the
hangar. Hank was in the hangar. She was the anonymous tipper. Yeah, and she knew that a lynch squad was going to go over and do stuff. And make him appear because it'd be too irresistible for him.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was kind of messed up.
it really is. Like, this could have been prevented if Hank just kept his dick in his pants.
Right.
If he would have just not slept with Mrs. Kirsch, things would have been okay. But no, he just had to go ahead and do it. Anyways. Then we actually have the military found Matron, and they found it at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I seen the turtle shell, I'm like, okay, that's Matron. And then it is actually inside Matron as like a protector, so that way nobody can get into getting it out. And I just thought, oh God, now we're in for a ride. For this rest of this episode.
Yep. It just kind of went. They were only supposed to move it so far to try and keep the gate closed, but they decided to take it all the way to the base because now he's asleep.
Right.
But I was like, oh man, don't do it.
I was thinking the same thing. You guys are so stupid. You guys don't even know what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a darkness that's within Derry that they don't, that nobody understands themselves other than the Indians that are there protecting it. And yet you want to go ahead and have control over this, thinking that you have control over this thing. Nobody has control over this. The only people that have control over it, in a sense, is the Indians, and that's it.
And it's not even real control. They just have it caged in.
Right. It's like a pit bull that just has like electric shock therapy. That's all it is. If you think about it, it's like, okay, we have him on his leash, so if he doesn't go outside the perimeter, we're okay. We don't have to worry about having to put it down. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, then, and they have no clue how to put it down, and they just unleashed a whole new
darkness, whole new within, issue. Mm-hmm. But I do like the fact that Dick helped Will and Hank and Aaron, Hank and Veronica escape. Rick and Marge are in the black spot still. Rich puts... Okay, we already talked about that. Charlie and the kids get Hank out of the woods. Dick tells them that it isn't around anymore. Dick knows about the other pillar. But I also like the fact that, you know, you have Will's father, Leroy, talking to him, and you see all these dead people around Dick.
Oh, yeah. And then if you notice, a lot of them were fresh from the fires too,
right?
And I was like, what did they do to us? What are they doing to me?
And then also too, you also have, remember when Pennywise sees Dick, goes, I see you. Do you see us? But that was also another horrifying thing within the fire and the flames and stuff,
the whole you see them, do you realize that they see you too? And then he controls them sort of and makes them all kind of like do one of those horror, like look at him kind of things.
Right.
I think the only one that wasn't affected was the Native American tribal leader.
Because that was the one that was the protector.
he was the protector, and I think because he reached out to it, because he said once he reaches out to it, it's hard for him to keep everything out because right. they just swarm his psyche. So, yeah, that was a good creep out moment.
I agree with you. And then after that, we have Charlie and the kids wants to get Hank out of the woods. Dick tells them it isn't around. Okay. So I do like the fact that Charlie wants to get Hank out of the woods and stop. So she winds up bringing him over to Rose. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then we have Dick knows about the other pillar, radio announcer, Stanley died. Rose knows it is resting, and they wait 27 years. Military trying to find the pillar. Dick still sees the dead Indian. So I do like this other thing too, where you have like the announcer telling us what happened and how they're framing these black people for being in the black spot, and how the police.
Oh, the radio. Oh, the radio yeah. news hosts. Yeah. Good job, boys in blue. I'm like, they didn't do anything. What the heck?
No. But that is just it really, manipulating the radio station and the airwaves.
It manipulating the radio station, pulling out the whole racism and everything. It was, yeah, it was a complete and total twist of what really happened. And I even mentioned that to my buddy. I was watching it with. I was like, oh man, they completely just twisted the whole story.
Way to go, boys in blue. They weren't even there until like the next day. And then you also have Mrs. Kirsch winking at the kids.
Yeah.
The other thing that was creepy was seeing this black girl take off her wig and she's laughing.
Oh, yeah. It's like she went completely nutso. I was like, oh, geez. I mean, the whole traumatic. The whole traumatic response, everyone mentally deals with it a little differently. I mean, it could just be she was just so overwhelmed she started doing that creepy laugh. But
I think she was just thankful to be alive, and she didn't know how to react.
Yeah, thankful to be alive, but then sad at the same time that everyone she knows just died. And just,
right.
Yeah, what a twist.
Charlotte, let's see. Charlotte is trying to get. Oh, so I like how Rose and them are over inside the committee of with the Indians and stuff like that. And she's like, well, we'll see you in 27 years.
Oh yeah, one of the elder guys is like, well, see you about this shit later. Like, nothing else I can do. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yep. Why are we even having this meeting? Are we just having a meeting just to have a meeting here? Because everything is done and toast. But then once you find out that they're not really done yet,
I think that's when things. They actually even blamed the fire on it.
Yeah.
In that little meeting. So.
Yeah, they did. They said it was actually it that caused the fire.
I think that was a little nod towards the book as well.
Yep. Because every incident within the town history of it always came back to Pennywise every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have Charlotte is trying to get Hank out of town. Veronica and Marge visits Lily. They tell Lily Rich is dead. Marge sees the toy airplane that Rich threw. And I'm thinking to myself, it also went on ahead, and I don't think that is Richie's plane.
You don't think so?
No, because remember, he threw that plane and it landed in where the sewer was.
That's true. It did land over there that the last time you threw it, huh?
Right.
But I mean, that's a tough call. It could be it. But at the same time, I mean, he went to retrieve it every time too, right?
I don't think he would go in the sewers though without his friends.
That's true. Especially knowing it's there. So yeah, it was probably it. Yeah.
Then we have Daniel. He found out about the military and found it. Or the pillar, because at that time I was actually confused. I'm like, did they find it or did they find the pillar? So I'm like, and I put like a question mark on my notes, and then I realized, oh, no. This is it that they found. You know? Because there was other pillars besides that one that Daniel had.
Right. So So you think they actually found it and not one of the pillars?
They found it. That was it. That they found them. They found it. And because otherwise, why would Leroy put a gun to Francis's head to tell him to let go, to not do it?
Well, I mean, removing a pillar is like opening the gate, right? So he knows that if we remove the pillar and they didn't follow the protocol that they originally talked about, just moving it a little bit, they completely took it to the base. So now it can just walk right through that hole. And right, but I mean,
even with the incinerator, though, burning it through the incinerator,
yeah, the incinerators, I'm not sure about that whole process. I think they were trying to test the rock or something, maybe. But
I think that was actually to let it loose.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on that. Like, that pillar thing is just a cover-up to protect it from getting out. I think that whole entire deal of them inside that chamber and stuff is to let it out.
Well, I mean, we know at the end that was the main goal, was just to let it out. Mm-hmm. I think that was actually a part of the pillar, though, that kept him caged in, and now they just let that door just completely open up, and they destroyed a way to close it.
Right. I feel bad for Leroy at this point, because he's just trying to do what's right.
Yeah, he's trying to do what's right, and I'm not sure he's... Yeah, I think he's going to be chased down there in the next episode.
I think he's going to be held captive inside that base.
Either held captive or taken care of. you know?
Leroy is actually in it, chapter one, so that tells me that he does somehow survive.
That's true. He is in it, one. So maybe I did just rewatch all of them. maybe Dick does help him, or maybe something... You know, I mean, at the end, it does come back. He does wake up. So, I mean, right. maybe because he wakes up, they're all like, oh, crap. And they keep him around, you know.
Maybe, but I don't see the military being that lenient, though, especially after putting a gun to Francis's head. And well, Francis is thinking that he's going to prevent another civil war. He just wants to have control over everything.
The fact that he pulled the gun on him. What, 2-3 times, and yeah, they still let him walk around? I mean, I don't know. I think they're maybe just not right in the head, and they think that he's the least of the problem or whatever. I don't know. It was kind of a weird situation.
I think it was like, well, we're going to let him think that he's okay, but he's really not okay.
Yeah, I can go with that.
Because remember, he tells the other guys, is like, make sure he doesn't leave the base.
Yeah. And make sure that now, he doesn't. I mean, that could be interpreted in many ways. Like, don't make sure he doesn't leave the base, or keep him on the base. You know,
right? Both, maybe both. Both. So now the major doesn't want Leroy to leave the base. We talked about that. Will's at home. It pretends to call him, but it's Pennywise on the phone.
Yes, the way he starts out with her voice, and then you get the double up of the voice. That was a good transition. I like that.
It was. And then Will's like, I'm not scared of you. And I like how he's trying to stand up for himself. And then at that moment, it shows up on the counter and then jumps down. And then he opens up the deadlights.
Yep. And there goes Will.
And so I'm thinking that this is what's going to happen. I think that Leroy is going to go back down in that sewer and try to get Will back.
Yeah. He'll probably do it with Dick as well.
Right. You're going to need Dick for this job. And you're also going to need Lily, because she has the spear.
Shard of the material that it's afraid of.
And everybody's thinking that this chart that she has is actually changing her behavior, but it's not changing her behavior. It's just the fact that she didn't like the fact that Veronica called her crazy.
There's that, and I mean, she's having a complete mental breakdown. I mean, she just saw all these people, all of her friends originally die in the theater, and then she's been chased and everything, and then people still think she's loony, and then it has been messing with her mentally as well, and she finally found something that just stopped it in its tracks, and she's going to be like possessive of it, of course, and because it kept Pennywise away, right? So I don't think it's really like corrupting her in a way. I think she's so mentally like broken at this point.
She's been through a lot of damn trauma. Yeah.
This is the only thing that has kept it away. So
exactly.
So she's going to be possessive of it because it's the only thing protecting her mentally.
Right. Because I was like, well, she's her behavior's changing. I'm like, no, she's just using it as protection. And she also doesn't like the fact that she's being called crazy. She's also went through a bunch of trauma.
Oh, that and one of the people that she trusted, Kirsch, ended up being Pennywise's daughter, right?
Right.
So
I would have freaked out too. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that was a doozy.
Yeah, that would traumatize me. It's like this woman who told me that I need to keep an eye, go down to the sewers, investigate this whole thing. And to know that it was all a setup from the very get-go just to see her daddy.
Right. And then she tries to give excuses and everything. And
right.
Yeah. So I don't think it's really corrupting her in any way. I think this is her protection. And she's, you know, if something protects you from a monster, you're gonna want to keep it with you at all times.
Exactly. Because all that is just the protection and that's it. I mean, and yeah, it could be radioactive, but it's not going to be where, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to corrupt your mind.
Right. If anything, maybe physically, if it's radioactive. Right. Yeah.
Another reference to Muschietti's first It film comes during the Black Spot, already now pledged by aggrieved spirits for opening his mental box.
Mm-hmm.
Sees a headless ghost slouching towards him through the flames. This appears to be the same spirit that terrorizes young Ben Hanscom inside the Derry Public Library. The little headless kid.
Oh, yeah.
So that's actually a little Easter egg to It Chapter 1. Pennywise ends his charming, if marsh, but performance with an arm-pumping, leg-kicking dance that will be familiar to fans of Muschietti's first It film. It's a bit less creepy here, though. The kids go positively gaga for it. There are a few hints throughout King's book that Pennywise's real name was Bob Gray. Though it never confirmed here, we see the non-possessed clown using a handkerchief and broad with initials RG for Robert Gray. And just to confirm, when he introduces himself to Georgie, he does wind up saying he is Bob Gray, Pennywise the Dancing Clown. It's even in the novel itself.
Yeah. That I actually remembered.
But yeah, that's pretty much all the Easter eggs for episode 7 that I noticed. Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up as far as this episode goes?
No, man. I think they did a great job with this episode. This whole series so far has been like crazy. There's been so much going on, and like it's actually kept a great pace. And the next episode is the next one. The next one's going to be the finale for the season.
Yep, that's it. 8 episodes.
There's been so much just going. I can't wait for this next episode, man.
Me either. But I here's what I like though about it though is the fact with 8 episodes, you actually would feel like it was rushed.
Right.
But this is not rushed. They took their time to build the story out and also enhance the experience of what Stephen King's novels are. And this is actually its own cinematic universe. So so Dick was never in it or anything like that.
Right.
So I like how this is its own cinematic universe, and it actually extends out from The Shining and Dr. Sleep. and gives us more an enhanced flavor to it.
Yeah, it gives it that extra seasoning and kind of brings everything together in some ways.
Exactly. So, all right, guys. So my question for you is, did you guys like this? Did you not like this episode? Because I know Chris and I both love this episode. We both love this series. But what did you guys like? What did you guys didn't like? I'd like to know in the comments below. Don't forget to smash a like button, subscribe. But don't forget to go ahead and give us a 5-star review on Spotify and also on Apple Podcasts, wherever you guys get your podcasts from. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. And since it's also Christmas time, go ahead and buy you guys some merch, for crying out loud. I have the link in the description and everything for you guys to buy some merch. So go get yourself some merch, and always until next time.
See you guys later.
Later, guys.